Luke chapter 1 in your Bible this morning. We will be into a Christmas passage today and tonight. So Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse number 26 and read down through verse 30. So find that passage, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. And we'll stand in just a moment after you find it. We'll read them responsively. If you'll please join me on the odd verses, and I'll read the evens, and then we'll have prayer get into the message after the special this morning. Let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. Our Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. For the angel, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Thank you, dear Father, for this portion of your word. I pray that you will open our eyes to it, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And as you open our eyes to it, Lord, I pray that we will open our hearts. And I pray that your seed, the good seed of your word, will be embedded into our hearts this morning. May it be good ground and bring forth fruit. Speak to us, I pray. Thank you so much for the privilege to have this service, to enjoy the fellowship and singing, and most of all, to hear from your word. And we'll thank you for that opportunity. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Danger behind.
Christmas morning, a Christmas message this morning entitled, God Remains the Same. And I think you'll understand the title of the message as we get toward the end of it. I'll go through some things and draw it all together and speak on the subject, God Remains the Same. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts now. We come to your word, and I pray that you'll minister to the heart that needs it most. May everybody get something from this message, Lord. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, we'll get as much as we want. So help us this morning to come with a hungry heart. And Lord, help me as I preach. And we'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And amen. Any honest Bible believer rejects the lofty status and elevated position that the Catholic Church has given to Mary. Now, I'm not going to go on a Catholic Church bash this morning, but that is a false teaching. That false teaching has given Mary the same status as Jesus Christ and to some degree an even loftier status than Jesus. Prayers are spoken to Mary. Mary is called on for help. Mary is supposed to have a better relationship with God the Father than Jesus himself. I don't know if these monitors working today. I'm not sure everything's right, Brother Payne, if you can help us. This is not on. Okay, I thought I hit the button. I'm sorry. There we go. That'll help. Very good. Some cases, they think Mary is closer to God than Jesus himself. It's believed by some in the Catholic faith that Mary herself was immaculately conceived in the womb of her mother. And a lot of other teachings that that church embraces that are not found simply in the Word of God. You won't find any of those things I just mentioned in the Bible. Okay? You won't find them there. Now, we know this to be false. We know that Mary had to be saved like Nicodemus had to be saved. We know that Mary had to be saved like Saul of Tarsus had to be saved, like Peter, James, and John had to be saved. She was a sinner of sinful birth, like everybody else who's been born of a regular mom and a regular dad. Mary never threw her weight around, but always yielded to her son's authority. She was a loving mother. She was supportive of the ministry of Jesus Christ. She was an attendant at the death of her son on the cross. One of only a couple of the Lord's followers who went that far with him, who witnessed that scene on Golgotha that day. Now, she's not equal to Jesus. She's equal to us. She is what we are. And she had the same needs you and I have. And she had the same needs of salvation that you and I have. So that's an elevated, lofty status that is not found in the Word of God. Now, however, in our fervency to deny that exalted status that that church gives her, that elevated position that that church gives her, we still must recognize what the angel said to Mary. Thou that art highly favored, but blessed art thou among women. Thou hast found favor with God. Now, folks, she does not have equal status with Jesus Christ, but she did have favored status among women. And especially in this day, she found favor with God. Ask you a question this morning. How many single virgin women were living in the day who were of the lineage of David who could have been chosen to bear the Christ child? Well, if you shoot out an immediate response, you might answer, well, there were several of them. Or there were a bunch of those single virgin women of the lineage of David who could have given birth to the Christ child. But maybe there were not as many candidates as we would think. Maybe there's a reason she was highly favored among women. Now, I want you to hold that thought right there for just a moment. We're going to come back to it. Let me talk about that word favor, because it's used twice in these verses. It's used in verse number 28, and it's used in verse number 30. Favor. Mary, thou art highly favored. You have found favor with God. What is favor? Mary found favor with God. The word favor means the same thing as the word grace means. In fact, it is the same Greek word. C-H-A-R-I-S. Charis. Somebody, I think it was Brother Coral's daughter, Lydia, and her husband, Lee, just named their little baby girl, Charis. They named her the Greek name of the Greek word for grace. Charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. So when the Bible says Mary found favor with God,
The Bible says she found grace with God. She found grace. Thou that art highly graced, you found grace with God. Now, there was someone else in the Bible who found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not in the New Testament. In the Old. In fact, the book of Genesis chapter 6, hold your finger there in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to go back and forth between Genesis 6 and Luke chapter 1 in just a moment. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible gives us the man who found favor or grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. The Bible says very simply in this chapter, in this verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. He found favor. Out of all the people living in Noah's day, he was the one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And out of all the single virgin women of the lineage of David who were living in Mary's day, she was the one who found grace or favor with God. Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Mary found favor or grace in the eyes of God. Now, I thought about Mary and I thought about Noah, and I recognize three similarities between these two, Noah and Mary, even though they were separated by 2,300 years. Over 2,300 years from when Noah lived, Mary lived. And there are three similarities I want to show you this morning. Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis chapter 6. Mary found grace or favor with God in Luke chapter 1. 2,300 years separates these two people. Noah male, Mary a female. But they both found favor in the eyes of the Lord, or grace in the eyes of God. Number one, I want to say this morning. They lived in similar days. They lived in similar days. If you're still in Genesis chapter 6, the days in which Noah lived were very similar to the days that Mary lived in as far as people's relationship with God was concerned. If you look at it here, look at verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. I mean, these are bad days. These are dark days. The Bible says they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And it says here that every imagination of their thought was evil to the point where God was sorry, that God experienced sorrow that he had ever created humanity. And he told Noah, he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy them all. Now, Noah was living in dark, dark days. Can I tell you that Mary was living at a time when God had not spoken by revelation to man for over 400 years? The last revelation he had given to man was through the prophet Malachi, the last book in your Old Testament. And after the book Malachi closed, for 400 years, God never spoke by revelation to people for over 400 years. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're in bad straits when that's going on. That's dark days. And it was dark. And the Jewish people got steeped deeply in tradition. And they got steeped in worship and the tradition of the Jewish faith. And began to get deep into religious exercise over actual relationship with God. The Jews were oppressed under the Romans and ruled by them. They were hoping for a Messiah, but they were not hoping for a Messiah to be saved from their sins, but to be delivered from their sins. They were hoping for a Messiah to be delivered from the Roman oppression. Dark, dark, dark days when Noah lived. Dark, dark, dark days when Mary lived. Over 2,300 years apart. But dark days, evil days. They were similar in the days in which they lived. But in those days, Noah and Mary both found grace, favor in the eyes of God. They lived in similar days. I'm going to draw it all together in just a little bit at the end. You bear with me. Number two, they possessed similar humility. They possessed similar humility. Now let's think about this a little bit this morning. God told Noah to build an ark. Noah, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. I want you to make it this big and this high and this wide. I want you to make it three floors. And I want you to get two of every kind of animal upon the earth and put them in there. And I want you to build this earth, build this ark out of gopher wood and do this to it, put one window in it, one door, and so forth and so on. Now you understand. There had never been any rain on the earth. Never been any rain. You understand, never had a flood. You understand, the earth was still surrounded by a canopy, a mist, during this day and age. There had been no rain. There had been no flood. They were not close to any significant body of water. And yet God told Noah to build a boat. Because it's going to rain, and it's going to rain so long and so hard, it's going to need to float. And by the way, this thing was not concealed. He had to build it out in the open. Now, do you understand, friend, the scrutiny that Noah knew he would be under? Do you understand? He knew the criticism. He knew the mocking. He knew the laughter. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building a boat. What's a boat? Well, it's a big thing made out of gopher wood, and it floats. Well, why does it float? Well, because there's going to be a rainstorm. Well, what's rain? Well, I don't know, but God said it's going to rain. I need something for people to get in. It's going to float. Can you imagine down at the local coffee shop? You guys been by Noah's house lately? You guys see what old Noah's up to there, huh? Old crazy man Noah. Now, he understood all that. He knew all that would be a part of him building this boat, but he submitted to God's will. How about Mary? Mary was not married, yet she would soon come under great scrutiny as she began to show the signs of carrying a child. She knew there would be criticism. She knew there would be condemnation. She knew there would be whispers. She knew there would be laughter. She said an angel told her the baby's father is God. She said that. She says she's still a virgin. Now she knew that was coming. But she submitted to it. You got Noah and you've got Mary over 2,300 years apart, but they both possessed similar humility. You know, the truth of the matter is, folks, you don't tell you why Noah was chosen and why Mary was chosen, because most people would have been too proud to be scrutinized, too proud to come under that kind of ridicule, too proud to come under that kind of criticism, too proud to come under that kind of whisper and mockery. And that's a good explanation as to why Noah and Mary, listen to this, found grace in the eyes of God. Because the Bible makes it clear that God works against proud people, but He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. In fact, James chapter 4, verse number 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Here they were living in similar days, 2,300 years apart, and there lived two people who were humble enough to submit to God's will. Now, listen very carefully what I'm about to say. Forced submission is not submission. I'll say that again. Forced submission is not submission. Not submission. God didn't arm wrestle Noah down. God didn't arm wrestle Mary down. Like I said last week, Brother Caleb, God didn't twist their arms and say, okay, you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Oh, okay, God, okay, Uncle, okay, God, I'll do it. And then go do it. Forced submission is not submission. Now you're missing the whole definition. No. Submission is only submission when it is willing, when it is from a willing heart. Noah, are you willing to go through the criticism, the mockery, the laughter, the scrutiny that you're going to go through when you start building this boat. Yes, sir. Mary, are you willing to go through the criticism, the laughter, the mockery, the whispering, the scrutiny that you're going to go through when you start showing signs of carrying a child and you're not married? Are you willing?
Yes,
sir. Willingness. That is a humble submission. Submission is only submission when it is humbly yielded, not when it is forced. I want to tell you something, friend. There's not a whole lot of people, evidently, we're not a whole lot of people living in Noah's day and not a whole lot of people living in Mary's day who were humble enough just to do God's will regardless of what it cost them. Maybe that's why they were chosen. Maybe that's why Noah found grace. Maybe that's why Mary found grace in the eyes of God. You know what? I'm afraid there is a spirit of pride that permeates mankind. We want to understand and we want to grasp it in our minds and get every little detail explained to us and have a good mental, intellectual grip on our faith. And I'm going to tell you something. The faith of the Bible is not that kind of faith. And I'm not belittling education this morning. And I'm not belittling intellectualism. I am for education. And I think you ought to do as good as you can in education opportunities. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you think that living for God is a matter of understanding every little detail and God owes us an explanation for everything He demands of us and wants us to do, you're barking up the wrong tree. Barking up the wrong tree. I will tell you something. We want to understand it. We want to grasp it. We want everything explained to us. You know, I was thinking in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 13. The wise man wrote these words. He wrote, "There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." And I wonder if that's not the generation that you young people are a part of in this world today. Because I have never been a part of more 20-year-olds and 22-year-olds and 19-year-olds with this haughty, proud spirit of, well, that's your interpretation, and I don't see it that way, and what I don't understand, and how come this, and how come that. I'm going to ask you, where is submission? Where is submission? And you know what? You can't make any expectations from me until you explain it to me. I'm sure Noah understood all about that rain and that boat. I'm sure he got everything explained to him before he submitted to God's will. Are you listening to me this morning? I see Mary had it all figured out. Yep. Yep. Mary went back to her house and she said to Mom and Dad, "Mom, Dad, I'm carrying a baby and this is, you got to understand, and this and this and this." You think she understood all that? You think she had a good mental grasp on it? You think she had it all down? The only explanation she got was that the power of the Holy Ghost would overshadow her, and the thing which would be born of her would be conceived of God and be a Christ child. And you know what she said? You know what she said? "Be it unto me." "Oh, I've got it, God. I see. Now that you've explained it to me, I can live it." I'm sorry, that's not the faith of our Bible. Do you know who God favors? Do you know who God gives grace to? God gives grace to people who are willing to humbly submit themselves to His revealed will. I'm a little weary of, well, that's the problem with you fundamentalists. You accept what somebody says, but you don't think at all. I'm a thinking fundamentalist, like all the rest of us aren't thinkers. Like your mind is the only gift that God gave to us fundamentalists. I'm a thinking fundamentalist. Oh, I'm glad. I'm not against thinking, friend, but I'm going to tell you something. There's some things that you can't understand. There's some things you can't comprehend. I say what I've said for years here from this pulpit. If our God could be comprehended by our mortal minds, He would be a very small God. And if he could fit into our little conceived box of understanding, he'd be a mighty small God. But his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. There are things about the Christian life that I do not understand. But you know what God's looking for? He's not looking for me to say, okay, now I see God. Now I understand. God's looking for me to say, you know what, God? But if you say so, yes, sir. That's true. No one went to work on that ark. I guarantee he didn't understand everything. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm going to tell you very, you know, you say, Brother Angel, do you understand the symbolism of baptism? Sure I do. But do you understand why God wants us to be dipped in the? I understand the symbolism in it, but I'm not sure. I understand why it's necessary, but God said it was, so it's necessary. I don't have to understand it. You say, do you understand all the implications of church membership and being faithful to church? And sir, and I'm not preaching about the last couple Sundays because that's weather stuff. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about a pattern of faithfulness. You say, do you understand Sunday morning, Sunday night, this Wednesday night, being faithful in church and church membership and being a member of a organized assembly of baptized, born-again believers? Do you understand all that, Brother Angel? Well, I know it. I'm not sure I could explain in every little detail to your likeness, to your acceptance, why that you ought to be a church member, why you ought to be faithful to church. But I can tell you this much. The Bible talks about it. God says it. And that's good enough. But now see, we're accused of being unthinking fundamentalists. Unthinking fundamentalists. I'm not sure I understand all the tithe. I'm not sure I understand everything about personal separation. I'm not sure I understand everything about everything. My mind is so small, folks. I'm not understanding. I don't think I've got a mental understanding of everything that's going on in my life as far as living for God and serving God. But I just know that God put it in His Word. He revealed it to us in His will. And you know what? That's good enough. That's good enough. You can call that simple-minded. You can call that unthinking fundamentalist. You can call that what you want to call it. But I'll promise you, this gal in Luke chapter 1 went back to her house saying, what is happening? And I'll promise you, when Noah was building that boat, sawing those woods, nailing, putting that thing all together, I'll promise you, he thought to himself, what is happening? But you know what, friend? They weren't waiting for their understanding to kick in. They just humbly submitted to the revealed will of God. They lived in similar days. The days were dark. They had similar humility. Similar humility. Number three, they acted in similar faith. They acted in similar faith. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 22, the Bible says, you know, God showed him what to do, told him what to do, explained, put the boat up like this, put two of every kind of animal in there. And at the end, in verse number 22, at the end of chapter 6, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Whatever God said, that's what he did. He acted in faith. And by the way, that is faith. Faith is obeying God in spite of the circumstances. Okay, God, I don't understand it, but I'll submit to it. And if it's your will, I'll get busy building that boat. And he did everything as God commanded him. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 38, the Bible says Mary's response to the angel was, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Noah started building the ark, and Mary went right over to Elizabeth's house and said, hey, cousin, I heard you were going to have a baby. The angel told me that. The same angel that told me I'm going to have a baby. She acted in faith on what God said. Now, friend, listen very carefully. In dark days, people who humbly submit in faith to God's word still find favor with God. You looked around lately? You said, Brother Angel, these are dark days. I know they are. Yeah, I know they are. There's more satanic activity right now than you can shake a stick against. It's incredible. There's stuff that happens that you can't explain outside of just satanic influence. Just unbelievable. And I'm not talking just in the world. I'm talking about within the ranks of Christians. Yeah. Most unbelievable things. Just scratch your head and say, what on earth? These are dark, dark days. Now, I don't live under a cloud, but I got enough sense to look around and say, these are dark days spiritually. And I'm here to tell you that in dark days, people who humbly submit in faith to God's Word still find favor and grace with God. And we are on the precipice of a new year, and you look at 2008 and you say, what in the world? I'm going to tell you something, friend. There was over 2,300 years between Noah and Mary, and there's been over 2,000 years now between Mary and when you and I live. But I'm going to tell you something. God remains the same. He is the unchanging Jehovah. His character is changeless. And if Noah in dark days could find grace in the eyes of God by humbly submitting in faith to the Word of God, if Mary, who lived in dark days, could find favor with God by humbly submitting to the revealed Word of God for her life, you and I, who live in dark days, can find grace with God if we'll just humbly submit to the revealed Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it's a little more tough than what we think. We live in the day and age of pride. Unprecedented pride. And I'm simply saying this, friend. Look, these people, Noah and Mary, 2,300 years apart, they both found favor, grace in the eyes of God. They lived in similar days. They possessed similar humility, and they acted in similar faith. And that encourages me. I can't build a boat, and I certainly can't have a baby. Praise God for that. But whatever it is God wants me to do, whatever it is God wants me to do, and whatever it is God wants you to do, if we'll just, I'm not against education. God knows we got a school. I'm glad for our kids. I want my own kids to do their very best. I am weary of the Spirit that I don't have to live it unless I understand it. I'm weary of that. I don't find that in the Word of God. I find the Spirit of Lord, I may not understand it. It sure doesn't make any sense to me. But if you say it, I'll do it. So that's too simple. Worked for Noah. Worked for Mary. It worked for you when you got saved. Because there's no way on earth you could comprehend and understand all the intricacies of your salvation. But God said, if a sinner comes in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ and trust in His death, burial, resurrection for his eternal salvation, I'll give it to you. There are probably some still waiting to understand. There used to be a fellow come here to church. I haven't seen him in several weeks now. Witnessed to him. I know he witnessed to him through the whole plan of salvation. I went through the whole, more than once. I went through it twice with him. Each time, well, I'm just waiting for when I understand. I challenged him. I said, come to church 5 weeks in a row. He did. Caught him in the foyer out here after church. When are you going to get saved? Well, I'm just waiting for, I got to understand. Told you the same thing. If you're waiting around to understand it all, until your little mind can grasp it all, you're going to leave this world someday without Christ and be eternally separated from God. Right. It's far better just to submit humbly to what God's book says and in repentance and faith come to Christ and be saved. And after that happens, live the life, live the rest of your life. I'm not saying don't learn the doctrines of the Bible. Learn them. Learn all you can. But what you can't understand, you can still live if you'll humbly submit to the revealed Word of God and act in faith. God's the same. God will give grace to you. God will give grace to anybody who humbly submits to His Word. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. With no one looking and Brother Caleb getting ready to take his place down in the front here, let me ask two or three questions. Who's here today would say, Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And you're not ashamed of that? I didn't say guess it. I said know it. You know that you're saved. Not ashamed of it. Would you lift your hand, please, this morning as recognition of that? God bless you. A testimony to the Lord's grace. Amen. Thank you. Take your hand down. Who's here this morning, Pastor? I've not trusted Christ as my Savior. I've been waiting around hoping to understand. But the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. I'm not saved. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, while we wait? Let me pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand. You may take it down. Is there someone else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Now, if you're not sure that you're saved, let me invite you in just a moment to take a walk of faith. We're going to have a couple of ladies on this side and a couple of men on this side of the auditorium. And just slip out of your seat and come right to the front here. Brother Caleb will assign you to either a lady or a man who could take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, now is the time to find out. Humbly submit to the truth of God's Word and trust Christ as your Savior. I pray that you'll do that. What a great Christmas gift, the gift of eternal life. Brother Angel, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand here like that? Anybody like that this morning? God bless you. Anybody else? Or I came to be baptized this morning. Thank you. You can take your hand down. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question. Those of you saved and baptized, dark days? Yep. I don't know if I'm going to make it. You're going to make it. It's called grace. It's called favor. Who finds grace? Who finds favor? The humble. Those who just sweetly submit, humbly submit, and act in faith upon God's written word. But don't get proud in spirit. Don't get a haughty attitude that you have to have it all explained to you. There are some things about the Christian life that are unexplainable. God just said, do it. You obey. God will bless that. That's what He's looking for. Humble submission. Willing submission. Preacher, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. There are areas in the Christian life I have refused to submit to because I didn't figure out why and I didn't understand this. But the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'll possess that spirit of humility and act on faith in what God said. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the auditorium? God bless you. God bless you. Take your hand down. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. If you're visiting this morning, you've been saved and baptized, and you talk to one of us about joining the church, myself and Brother Caleb, you'll be sure and come at the opportunity and the invitation to do that. We'd love to have you this morning. With nobody looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, like for a couple of ladies, a couple of men, those who work with folks at the altar, please to come to your place. If you're not saved, we have ladies to talk to the ladies and girls. We have men to talk to the men and boys. You can find out how to be saved this morning. My dear Father, I thank You for the privilege of preaching Your Word. I thank You for finding grace. Noah found grace. Mary found favor. I ask, oh dear God, that You'd please, please help us in these dark days to humbly submit to Your Word and act in faith upon it because, God, You remain the same. You will help us. You'll use us like You did Noah and Mary. Thank You, God, for this passage of Scripture. Open our hearts to it, I pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand, please, with no one looking as the ladies begin to play a song of invitation. Would you slip out of your seat this morning? You need to be saved. Would you just come right down to the front? Let Brother Caleb put you with somebody who can show you how to be saved.